Halting for a moment outside the door of the director's room, Bernard drew a deep breath and squared his shoulders, bracing himself to meet the dislike and disapproval which he was certain of finding within. He knocked and entered. "A permit for you to initial, Director," he said as airily as possible, and laid the paper on the writing table. The director glanced at him sourly. But the stamp of the World Controller's office was at the head of the paper, and the signature of Mustafa Mond, bold and black, across the bottom. Everything was perfectly in order. The director had no choice. He penciled his initials, two small pale letters, abject at the feet of Mustafa Mond, and was about to return the paper without a word of comment or genial Ford speed when his eye was caught by something written in the body of the permit. "For the New Mexican Reservation?" he said, and his tone, the face he lifted to Bernard, expressed a kind of agitated astonishment. Surprised by his surprise, Bernard nodded. There was a silence. The director leaned back in his chair, frowning. "How long ago was it?" he said, speaking more to himself than to Bernard. 20 years, I suppose, nearer 25. I must have been your age." He sighed and shook his head. Bernard felt extremely uncomfortable. A man so conventional, so scrupulously correct as the director, and to commit so gross a solecism. It made him want to hide his face, to run out of the room. Not that he himself saw anything intrinsically objectionable in people talking about the remote past. That was one of those hypnopedic prejudices he had, so he imagined, completely got rid of. What made him feel shy was the knowledge that the director disapproved. Disapproved, and yet had been betrayed into doing the forbidden thing. Under what inward compulsion? Through his discomfort, Bernard eagerly listened. "I had the same idea as you," the director was saying. "Wanted to have a look at the savages. Got a permit for New Mexico and went there for my summer holiday. With the girl I was having at the moment, she was a beta minus, and I think," he shut his eyes, "I think she had yellow hair. Anyhow, she was pneumatic, particularly pneumatic. I remember that. Well, we went there, and we looked at the savages, and we rode about on horses and all that. And then, it was almost the last day of my leave, then, well, she got lost. We'd gone riding up one of those revolting mountains, and it was horribly hot and oppressive, and after lunch we went to sleep, or at least I did. She must have gone for a walk, alone. At any rate, when I woke up, she wasn't there, and the most frightful thunderstorm I've ever seen was just bursting on us, and it poured and roared and flashed, and the horses broke loose and ran away, and I fell down trying to catch them and hurt my knee so I could hardly walk. Still, I searched and shouted and searched, but there was no sign of her. Then I thought she must have gone back to the rest house by herself, so I crawled down into the valley by the way we had come. My knee was agonizingly painful, and I'd lost my soma. It took me hours. I didn't get back to the rest house till after midnight. And she wasn't there. She wasn't there," the director repeated. There was a silence. "Well," he resumed at last, "the next day there was a search, but we couldn't find her. She must have fallen into a gully somewhere or been eaten by a mountain lion. Ford knows. Anyhow, it was horrible. It upset me very much at the time, more than it ought to have done, I dare say. Because after all, it's the sort of accident that might have happened to anyone. And of course, the social body persists, although the component cells may change." But this sleep-talk consolation did not seem to be very effective. Shaking his head, "I actually dream about it sometimes," the director went on in a low voice. "Dream of being woken up by that peal of thunder and finding her gone. Dream of searching and searching for her under the trees." He lapsed into the silence of reminiscence. "You must have had a terrible shock," said Bernard, almost enviously.